Well, it's been a couple of weeks, Dal. But yeah. We're back.
We apologize if you are someone who, hangs on our every word. Okay, that doesn't exist. But we're sorry if we were that thing that filled an hour for you when you commuted home and we weren't there for you.
Your nephew is going to be very upset.
Yes. He hasn't said anything, but I assume he's fuming somewhere. But we're glad to be back on Sportsmanlike Conduct. Man, there's been so much that's happened, and you had kind of talked about some things that, we're going to have to fill. Where do we start?
It's cramming time, Dal.
Yeah.
So first of all, the NBA play-in begins tonight, so that's one thing. The Chicago Bulls will be on tomorrow. They'll be taking on the Toronto Raptors, and
those dirty, dirty Raptors.
Yeah. Even if we get in.
Actually, I kind of like the Raptors.
Let's say we beat Toronto. And then we beat whoever loses tonight's game for that 8 seed. Yay, we made it in. And then we just get swept by Milwaukee again.
Which we would.
What am I supposed to take away from this as a Bulls fan other than, oh my God, I am so tired of losing to Milwaukee.
I think what you're supposed to take in is that the Bulls medical staff is probably about like the Commanders' medical staff, in that they may not be very good at their job. You know how there's certain staffs, it's like, this guy's supposed to be out a year, and he's back in 8 months, and he's not only back, but he's like at an all-pro level. Yeah, the Bulls are the opposite of that when it comes to Lonzo. As long as Lonzo Ball is out and as long as his future is uncertain, which is that we're going into, year three of this?
Yeah.
As long as that's going on?
I kind of mentally removed him from the team.
So did I.
I'm just like,
But the Bulls, I mean, you're hamstrung. He's still on your roster. You can't move on. He's not playing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that his presence on the court would get you past Milwaukee anyway. Probably not. Like I said, they just kind of are. They're kind of just in that cycle of mediocrity. And until something happens to jolt them out of it, there's really not a lot you can do. So, I do hope they beat the Raptors, those dirty, dirty Canadians. I'm just kidding. I actually really like the Raptors. But like you said, even if they do, so what?
And kind of speaking of Chicago injuries, so here we are into another White Sox season. I got my shirt on and everything. Sox had an interesting start to the year where they currently lead baseball in hitting. They have more hits than anyone by like over 30. They have more extra base hits than anyone. They're third in home runs. They're like fifth in runs scored. It's ridiculous.
I can't believe you're even paying that much attention to baseball. They just got started.
I know.
They played 10 of 5 million games. They just got started. You don't know what's going to happen with them.
But anyhow, so they started off red hot, and everyone knew last year, their pitching staff, that's their strength. They need to get that offense going. So then this year their offense starts off red hot, and they were like 29th in runs allowed. The pitching staff was awful. Came back around, though, the last couple of days, the pitching staff got it together, won a couple of games, held opponents down. And the one thing everyone kept saying all offseason was, they don't really need that many signings because their biggest additions will be simply getting healthy. They were so injured last year, blah, blah, blah. Well, here we are. We're not 2 weeks into the season. Tim Anderson has an injured knee. He's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. Eloy Jimenez injured himself. He's out about 4 to 6 weeks. Joe Kelly injured himself running out of the bullpen for a fight in Pittsburgh the other day. It wasn't even baseball related.
Yes. Okay. Now remember, we've talked about this before. Of any other of any other major professional sport, is there anyone who gets hurt doing normal things more than baseball players?
It is hilarious.
It's like, I went to pick up my you have a kid that's on the verge of walking, he's walking around. It's like, I bent down to pick up my kid and, ruptured my spleen or something like that. Baseball players do that all the time.
It is funny.
I went and opened a beer on Saturday and cut my pitching finger, so now I'm out for 6 months. They do crap like that all the time.
I did find it hilarious, though, how angry Pittsburgh is about that whole, and I don't know if you saw any of it, but O'Neill Cruz clearly, as obvious as the day, was going to try to run over our catcher at the plate. And I love O'Neill Cruz. He was on my fantasy team last year, and he was held down in the minors for way too long. You know, he's a great player, great guy, but he was trying to run over our catcher at the plate. Sebi didn't have any of it. First of all, he's a catcher. He outweighs Cruz by a bit. And second of all, he's wearing body armor, and Cruz isn't. Not a great plan. They run into each other. Cruz kind of slides awkwardly at the last minute when he realizes that Sebi had the ball and had positioned himself in time. And he's like, uh-oh, I don't think I'm going to be able to run him over now. I'll try the most awkward slide anyone's ever had. Slides into Sebi's foot, breaks his own ankle on the slide.
Mm-hmm.
Sebi, our catcher, now angry because he's like, you tried to run me over, dude. Gets up, throws his helmet down, and says, F you. Out. Mocks him while he's laying on the ground. Didn't realize he had fractured his ankle, mind you. He just knew, all right, I tagged you out after you tried to run me over, so screw you. Pirates bench just clears. They're like, how dare you show up our player? You're mocking him while he's on the ground, blah, blah, blah. Pirate fans talking about how classless Sebi Zavala was for he tried to run him over. What are you going to do other than say, hey, you expletive, out. I own you. You know, I mean, you're going to talk some trash after someone tries to run
baseball
you over.
Baseball leads the professional sports world in unwritten, stupid rules.
That one's not even really an unwritten rule. I think Pittsburgh just genuinely thought that Sebi, they're like, well, our guy got hurt and he stood over him.
Yeah, but even
he didn't know he was hurt. He just knew that he tried to run him over.
But here's my point. Even if they knew, oh, he's hurt, and I don't think he realized he was hurt, they're going to make a big deal out of it.
Ugh.
Bunch of drama queens.
I also find it funny. So we kind of all think of pitchers as being kind of the least athletic.
Yeah, like
of
the divas.
They're almost the quarterback or the kickers of baseball. You're like, all right, a fight's starting. Get the pitcher out of there. It makes you forget that the occasional actual athletic pitcher is actually athletic, even though they are, because they got pitcher next to their name. And I did find it funny. Michael Kopech, who is like 6'4 and about 230, was the pitcher for the Sox on the play. Big fight breaks out, and Kopech goes sprinting in. Everyone's trying to pull him away. And I'm like, oh, get Kopech out of there. Don't get our dainty little pitcher hurt. And then I see him, and he's actually standing next to like our first baseman and our third baseman, and they're pulling him up, and he's like a full head bigger than both of them. I'm like, oh, that's right. He is large. I forgot about that.
Well, that's a thing, I mean, especially in baseball. Some of these guys are tiny.
Yeah.
Well, look at like Jose Altuve. What is he, 5'6"?
Good at baseball, though.
Well, maybe.
Tiny.
Maybe he is.
Well, it's been a hot minute since that whole ordeal.
Well, I'm just saying. he's been on good teams, but cheating teams. We really don't know how good he is.
One cheating team.
Yeah. And I'm sure everything else has just been just above board.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't even have anything against it. But yeah, some of them are they're so little.
And then, you know, Lance Lynn is another pitcher on our staff. He's 6'5". He's a good, like, 250. Big, burly, grizzly bear-looking dude. And you're like, oh, that's right. You're a pitcher, so I forgot that you could theoretically be large as well. I just assumed that by your build that you would have to be a catcher or first baseman. I thought that was the rule. But anyhow, so that was an interesting ordeal. Ohtani making history yet again. The first player in history to get pitch clock violated as both a pitcher and a batter in the same game.
Ooh, nice job.
And then we got Machado.
I'm sure that's what he'll be remembered for.
that's all he's ever done. He's working wonders for my fantasy team, by the way. I still hate that fantasy baseball forces you to draft him as two separate players. You can get him as a hitter or a pitcher.
Yeah,
I should be allowed to draft him as a pitcher and then just cheat. Like, that's how they should be. The Angels get to do it. I should be allowed to do it. I should get his hitting stats and use him as one of my pitching slots. Come on.
Because he has more value. I totally agree. It's sort of like, to a lesser extent in the NFL, it's like when you sign Taysom Hill and you play him at tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And then he happens to, you know, throw 10 passes and including a touchdown that game. You get those points.
And
why,
you know,
shouldn't you get him
in
baseball?
You know what I don't like is how they have determined on Yahoo and ESPN, at least. I don't know if anyone uses CBS fantasy football or something. But anyhow, on those two, if you have a guy that returns kicks, you don't get the yardage.
Yeah.
only you would, like, if you have Cordero Patterson, I really thought that was my big scheme. I'm like, well, I have Patterson, so I get all his running back points, and then it's 30, you know, kick return yards is a point. So, like, whatever. If he has 90, I'll get three little sneak point. Nope, I'd have to have the Falcons defense for those.
Well, but here's the thing.
Come on.
It's funny you Bears fans are all like this. I have a brother who's a Bears fan, and I'm the commissioner of our family plus league. And every year he brings up how many yards did he get screwed out of over the years because he had Devin Hester in his lineup. And I made it so that there's no points. It's my fault.
Although that's slightly different because I don't know why you would have drafted Hester anyway. My brother used to do it, but that was adorable because he was six. And Devin Hester was his favorite player.
Yeah, I had a nephew like that too.
I'm like, you know what? That's fine. He won a championship one year with Devin Hester starting at wide receiver.
I get crap from him. And yeah, I think he just, you Bears people.
I just don't understand why I don't get those points. Is Cordero Patterson not the one who returned the kick?
I just don't understand why I had to write a check to the IRS this week. But guess what? I did.
You know what?
Absolute bullcrap.
Yeah, you know what? I think I agree with you on both fronts. Give me my Cordero Patterson points, and also Dal gets his tax money back.
Without saying too much, I'm just going to say I shouldn't be paying taxes. I'll just say that. I am not hand over fisting it into my pockets. In terms of my lifestyle choices for making money, I'm not. And so, you know,
they probably saw that fantasy championship you won last year and
two in a row. So, but I just, it's very disheartening when I look around and see where I'm at in life. And then it's like, oh, by the way, you owe X amount this week. Send it to Cincinnati, which is where it went, which every year I think I'm like, why does it go to Cincinnati? That's where it goes. There it went. I sent it off yesterday.
See, that's what happens when you don't have enough representatives and you're a tiny little state like Wyoming, is it turns out your tax money, they're allowed to just go, you know what, we're just going to rotate it to whatever city we feel like. Dal's money goes to Cincy.
It's not even going to make it to D.C.
Aaron's money is going to go to Kansas City. what the heck? Duke, you get Phoenix.
Yeah.
There you go.
but yeah, you know, hey, life's tough all over. I guess I try and look at it this way as I'm paying my taxes. And, you know, I on Tuesdays, which is when we're recording this now, I make a run up to Jackson Hole, emphasis on the hole. I hate Jackson. For those of you out there.
This is not a...
For those
behind
of you out there,
closed doors, either.
I'm just saying for all of you out there. Oh, Jackson Hole, I'd love to go. I go to Jackson Hole all the time. I grew up 70 miles south of Jackson Hole. It sucks.
You would have appreciated what was it? The Travelers Inquirer, their own personal thing they did, where based on all kinds of these categories, they did a thing on the most overrated city in every state. And granted, Wyoming doesn't have like a plethora of.
Well,
cities to overrate.
According to some
from.
People, we don't even have a city. So,
but they went with Jackson.
Oh, that's a good
pick.
The
most overrated city.
That's a good pick.
I did find it hilarious that for Illinois, they went with Naperville, which is where I was born.
This is where you're from, yeah.
And all I could think was, who's overrating Naperville?
Yeah.
Who's out there talking like, oh, Naperville, that's a real tourist destination.
The Naperville Chamber of Commerce.
It's a suburb. Like, you either live there or you don't. It's not like that's a big tourist spot.
Yeah, it's
I don't
not
really
like, come
understand.
To Naperville. Yeah, I've never seen a commercial urging me to spend my vacation dollars in Naperville.
And for those of us that have lived there, I've never heard anyone speak ill of it.
And I have seen ads trying to get my money to Jackson Hole, and I live here. I live an hour south of it. I do all that I can to not spend money there. I hate it.
I have a couple of times when I was in my childhood, my parents would take us to Colorado on ski trips, and I like ski trips. Ski trips are fun, and I'm just going to say, if I was going to go on another ski trip, probably go back down to Colorado again instead of Jackson.
It's fine with me. Again, I'm not here to promote them. I'm just saying, how do we get on this?
We just do that sometimes.
Yeah, but how do we
get that way?
Anyway, they suck. I don't like it at all.
Speaking of,
please spend your dollars in Star Valley rather than Jackson Hole.
So
we need it. They don't.
I have Ohtani, the pitcher, who's getting me plenty of points. Was kind of where that all started.
And I have no baseball fantasy team or interest.
But then as we go through some controversies that took place, because we're going to have to just shoot from the hip on this one. What was your take on the whole Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese ordeal after the championship game?
First off, I really like how Caitlin Clark handled the whole thing. Even when it was all said and done, your team loses, which is obviously the more difficult position to be in when you're answering questions. And even when with all of that and you're getting asked that question over and over after the game, I thought she took the high road, which I appreciated. First off, I'm fine with what she did in her normal games. And if she's not annoyed with what Angel
Reese
did, then why should we be? But at first, my initial thought was, wow, you're being a jerk. Because it wasn't just like a boom one time. It was she was like circling around her and kept doing things.
I'll say this.
I thought that was a little much. But again, I will say this. Then when Caitlin Clark comes out and says it's not a big deal and we're competitors, if you still have a problem with Angel Reese after that, then that's on you.
Yeah. I would say even in the moment, I thought, all right, I'm not sure what's going on here. I mean, I get Caitlin Clark's a trash talker. We all saw that. Yeah. So fine, you can talk trash right back at her. Did it feel excessive and a little...
little bit.
Little immature? I don't know, fine. Do I care 99% of the time? No. Did I like when Steve Smith, right after five Minnesota Vikings starters got arrested on a boat out in the middle of the lake because they had cocaine on him, scores a touchdown against the Vikings and then pretends he's on a rowboat and then he jumps over the rowboat in the end zone? I thought that was hilarious.
I don't remember that, but
you're going to have to Google it, the rowboat celebration. He literally did it to say, haha, you guys literally just got arrested. Your lives are ruined, and I scored on you, so now I'm going to rub it in your face.
See, I like that. thank goodness the NFL lets him have a little fun in the end zone again.
And on top of that, then when I heard Angel Reese's explanation in that the South Carolina player that Clark kind of gave the John Cena, you can't see me. Turns out Angel Reese and that player happened to be really good friends from their childhood. And she said, well, you know, she mocked one of my good friends. So obviously I went out there in the championship game. My goal was bitterness. It's I'm taking you down. You mocked my friend. I'm like, you know what? Now that there's backstory, whatever. Fine. I don't care. Let him do it.
Again, but I will.
And here's the other thing.
But I'm going to reiterate this. If you still have a problem with her at this point, you're the one with the problem.
Yeah.
This is not a big deal.
And then just from a fan perspective, you know, the people that say I want that out of my sports, first of all, you're boring. Second of all, both of them are sophomores.
And the people,
they're coming back next year and they're going to play again.
And the people who say they don't want that in their sports probably loved the Jordan Rules era NBA where the Pistons beat the living crap out of Michael Jordan. I know I did now in retrospect.
I mean, can you imagine though? People talk about the difference. Oh, well, the game was in hand, so it's different than in-game. I've never been a part of, like, I never cared about that. That's the time to trash talk. Yeah. I've now won.
It's like, yeah, are they supposed to do it when it's still competitive?
That's what they're saying. They're like, well, Clark was trash talking in the first quarter. That's different than doing it when.
Again, if
there's
you're still,
no difference, stop.
If you're still justifying it, you're taking it too. I will say this, though.
But
I thought, this is where I'm going to get some crap, maybe from somebody. I thought LSU was the beneficiary of a lot of favorable calls.
There was also that.
In the tournament, not just in that game. They should have lost to Utah. I watched that game because Utah is kind of a regional team, and they were on a historic run for them. And so I watched that game. Utah should have won that game.
Mm-hmm. I unfortunately only really caught the Notre Dame games until the championship. So I didn't really see most of that. But
yes, when I see Angel Reese doing the thing That's actually what annoyed me more. Is I'm like, you shouldn't even have got past Utah. here you are mocking someone else and you won. Oh, Tiger, I guess you get to.
So not only are both of them sophomores, so they'll play again next year and maybe the year after that in the NCAA, both of them, for those of you that care, I know obviously we've talked about this before, you don't really watch professional women's basketball at all, but
I watch some college though.
If people care about feuds and entertainment value, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, both projected first round WNBA draft picks when they come out, both arguably going to be number one and another one that's in the top five, they'll probably play against each other.
Oh, yeah, lots of times.
For like a decade, maybe more. They're going to play so many times and get so many chances to be the female version of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson just yapping at each other constantly.
What was interesting, though,
that could be fun.
I think the game, who did Iowa beat to get to the championship? I can't remember.
South Carolina.
Okay. Was it that game that had the huge numbers?
No, the one, well, also yes, but the one where she set the record was the round before that.
Okay.
In the Elite Eight.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. Because there's always been, let's be honest, this question of women's sports when it comes to, there's this discussion of, and basketball kind of seems to be the tip of the sword of it. Because the WNBA is a subsidized league. It is. Mm-hmm. And so when you're talking about, you know, equal pay and this and that, it's kind of hard to
justify
to get into that mode and be serious about it, because it's not the same product.
Which is not actually what the pay discrepancy is.
But at the same time, I think you're seeing a growth taking place at a, if not grassroots level, but at an important level, where I think you're going to see more and more people. I guess what I'm saying is you're going to see a lot of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese jerseys, mm-hmm. more than you would have of Lisa Leslie even, and some of and Cheryl Swoops.
Maybe we can get a deal here where, so the Chicago Sky, my team, just lost Candace Parker, who was the former best player in the world.
And why did they lose her?
She's old, retired.
She did a phenomenal job as an analyst for the March Madness, though.
Yes.
She was one of my favorites.
You'd like to believe that someone that played basketball for that long would be good at breaking
down
women's
plenty
basketball.
But there's no, she was part of the men's tournament. Oh. But it was, she just did a phenomenal job. And let's be honest, there's some that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was fantastic. But
now the Sky lost her. They could tank next year and go get Caitlin Clark with the first overall pick, and we'll just cycle it through, baby.
I'm going to quote Bill Burr. Boy, if we ever got Bill Burr on our podcast, we'd have to bleep him out a lot, and I don't know how we'd do that. But he makes some great points. And again, talking about the women's game, his latest stand-up on Netflix, I encourage you to go watch it if you haven't. But he talks about how, he's like, the attendance for the women's game in a lot of places is X, you know, 1,500 in a 20,000 seat stadium. And he's like, where's all the feminists? He basically, it's like, why are you blaming men for not coming and watching? It's like, where's all the feminists?
Yeah.
Apparently there's a million, you know, there's millions of feminists. Why aren't they watching it?
And here's what my argument always was. If you complain about the pay gap, and I have watched more WNBA games than you, you are no longer allowed to argue about the pay gap. I enjoy watching the Chicago Sky play basketball because they have Chicago in front of their name. They are not as good as the Chicago Bulls, and there's not as many people watch. It's me and like eight of my friends watching. But you know what? Am I going to support them? Sure. They're still my Chicago team. I still like it.
Well,
that's fine.
And what
I'm
saying
not going
to
be the guy, though, that tries to argue that they need to be making $60 million contracts.
But what I'm saying is there is still the opportunity and ability for them to have huge fan bases. And some of them do. And they showed that in this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen that the largest crowd ever at the Arena Auditorium, which is the Dome of Doom where Wyoming plays, was for a women's game. In 2008, they hosted the NIT, and they kept hosting. And they actually ended up hosting the championship against Wisconsin, And they beat like Kansas State. They beat some other big names. But they were playing Wisconsin in the championship. And that place was absolutely full to the rafters. And they don't even have this many seats anymore. They've chopped out some of the seats for bigger video boards and stuff like that. It was like 15,500 for a women's, and they won. Mm-hmm. And it was the most packed, crazy, I think I've ever seen that place. And that was for a women's game. And I think you see the same thing for Iowa. I think I'll bet their attendance this year, and then especially going into next year, is going to be insane. Same thing with LSU. It's just when you have a connection to where you're playing, you mm-hmm. will get those numbers. Where the NBA gets the numbers is casual fans show up too. And I don't know that the WNBA necessarily has a lot of casual fans.
No. Part of the problem, though, that I do see is slowly fixing itself, but I was discussing this with one of my friends who is, in fact, a massive basketball fan. And he was talking about, he's like, well, I watch the women's tournament every year. And according to him, the biggest problem he has with college basketball is that much more than men's basketball, it's recruiting from high schools, where there's this tendency in college basketball where the WNBA has enough players in it to where each team is mostly the same. And unfortunately, the WNBA probably has all of the true top talents in the country. And so before they're in the WNBA, college basketball has this problem of the top five women's players in all of high school might all end up going to UConn.
Yeah.
And then the next five will all be at Notre Dame.
Well,
so the difference between, say, UConn and, I don't know, Wyoming in men's college basketball is fairly decent, but I don't know, maybe they're going to beat them by 12.
This year wouldn't have been a good example.
Even at worst, what are they going to beat them by 20?
Probably.
Yeah. Women's college basketball, take the average women's team against the five blue bloods that get all the great high school
recruits. Yeah, it's like 50.
It's a slaughter.
Well, I think part of that is you're seeing the NCAA, the men's game, that has evolved, especially in the last 25 years, to where there's talent everywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. you look at this year's tournament in particular, no number one seeds advanced, first time since 1970. Mm-hmm. In fact, no top three seeds advanced for the first time since 1970. That's what I meant. But you look at that, and there's amazing players at Florida Atlantic and at, you know, Furman. And I think the difference is the women's game is where the men's game was 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was UCLA, it was you had these dominant teams that had the dominant. I mean, UCLA won what, 88 games in a row with, you know, Lou Alcindor and Bill Walton and the Wizard of Westwood, all that stuff. I think it was like that. Well, now it's starting. It's spreading out, but there's still a giant gap.
There is still blue, but I think the tournament this year showed that we are at least progressing slightly towards, arguably,
parity
of the top five players in the world of women's college basketball. Four of them went to, one of them's at Iowa.
Yeah.
Two of the other ones are at LSU, who is a good athletic school, but is not a college women's basketball blue blood.
Yeah, that was their first championship.
Yeah. And so I believe we are spreading out slightly better. And there's just, I mean, there's more
great
players.
That.
And I think that's going to help a lot too, as opposed to, obviously, in the WNBA, there was Candace Parker for a long time, who rightfully so was kind of being promoted as their version of, well, this is our LeBron.
She's the logo.
But she was unfortunately like kind of, her and Sue Bird were kind of like, are they head and heels above everyone else. And we're kind of needing to get to a point where maybe we get to, okay, we can have superstars, but we need stars right below them.
Yeah.
Rather than, here's our two superstars, and yeah, it looks like LeBron James is playing against a bunch of high schoolers when they're out there against the other WNBA players. I think we're slowly getting to the point when it should be evening out here coming up shortly.
I don't even know about shortly, because I think it's going to take time, but I think it is trending that direction.
Which is good.
Yeah, agreed.
The Boston Bruins, you've scoffed every time I've brought it up.
I did.
But here they are, 63 wins. They got two more games.
They're now poised to be the team that's won the most regular season games and got eliminated in the playoffs.
Why are you so sure that they're going to
lose? I am not. I'm just saying they're poised. if that happens, which...
It's going to be really funny,
I think you have to admit, there's a lot better chance of that happening than them winning the cup.
Well, I would say
at this point
in hockey, it's a lot harder to be the team that goes in and steamrolls everyone than in any other sport. The betting odds favorite still has to have the lowest odds going into hockey than in any other sport. I'll say that.
Yeah.
As the favorite.
And that's what I'm saying. I guess what I'm saying is if you look just from right now, from right now until the end of the Stanley Cup Finals when someone hoists the mother of all hood ornaments, the odds are...
Not spectacular.
Okay. I mean, we can settle this right now if you're such a big believer in them.
I'm not...
You take the Bruins and I'll take the field.
Quite the...
Oh, wait. You laugh? That you laugh and scoff? What are you scoffing for? You love the Boston Bruins.
I do like the Bruins. It'd be difficult for me, though, to try to put a bet on them when I'm not going to be rooting for them to win the cup. Because the New
Jersey
Devils.
That's not my problem. I have the field.
Okay. But anyhow, Boston Bruins, 63 wins. They got two games left.
Which is amazing. I mean, I'm not trying to be a complete jerk here. I mean, that's... What, 13 games more than any other team?
Yes.
That's nuts.
And we oogled and ogled at what Colorado did last year when they ran away with a lot of the regular season stuff and then, you know, went on to win the cup. So I'm just saying, being fair, I'm oogling and I'm ogling at 63 wins. And they got two more games. The record for points in a season is 132. They're at 131. And one more overtime loss, and they'll tie it. If they win one of their two games, they'll beat it. So
the NHL, the point system is
a little funny.
It's like algebra, and I was never good at it.
But anyhow, Boston looking good. The New Jersey Devils, the Carolina Hurricanes looking catchable all of a sudden.
Yeah.
New Jersey might bump themselves into getting a wild card team instead of having to play the Rangers in round one.
And the Rangers right there... Yeah, I'm obviously still going for the Avs. They had a good year.
And my Blackhawks steering the tank brilliantly now if we get lotteried out of the first pick, Dal.
They suck.
If we get lotteried out of the first pick, I'm going to burn Canada to the ground. The year Connor Bedard, the best, most can't-miss prospect since Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby, is coming out in this draft, and the Blackhawks managed to get... Last place. That should be our pick. We should get our generational superstar, but there's a stupid lottery system.
I don't know if they deserve it any more than the Blue Jackets or the Ducks.
Are we behind them in the standings?
Yeah.
So?
No, actually. The Ducks have 23.
We're behind them. The Ducks have 58 points. We're at 56.
Yeah, but the Ducks... differentials at minus 126.
They might be a worse team than... But much like the Bears getting the first pick in the draft, Dal, we steered the greatest tank in history, and we deserve our reward for steering this absolutely perfect tank. How dare you lottery us out of it?
In fact, you know what? I'm going to laugh, though, if that happens.
How dare you? Now, I am told that the top three picks in this draft...
Your Bears got the number one pick. I don't care.
I should get that in every sport, every year. We either win the championship or we get the first pick. I don't know why I should ever...
And then they gave it up, willy-nilly.
Well, that's what I wanted.
I know.
I didn't want the first pick. I wanted the haul. In this case, I want the pick. I want bettered is what I want. Now, I'm told, though, that picks two and three are apparently also... They're like, oh, this draft... We got three superstars at the top of this draft. Unfortunately, you're still going to feel disappointed if you get superstar B and C because Connor Bedard happens to be superstar A. So, is what it is. But I'm just saying, I would very much like for the lottery to be kind to us and say, you know what, Chicago Blackhawks, I'm so sorry that your dynasty ended 8 years ago. Go start a new one. Here's Connor Bedard for free. Enjoy.
I don't think you're being very fair to the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're in Columbus.
Well, exactly. So if it's in the NHL's best interest to rig the lottery, Dal, and give the biggest market team available the first pick in the draft and give us Bettered.
And I'm and I'm actually not even going to include the Ducks, because at least they're still in Anaheim. At least it's warm. Speaking of which, I have to throw this out there before I forget. So it is April 11th here where we live, and in a lot of places, there's flowers and trees. We are literally in day two of not freezing temperatures in a row. It's the first time it's happened in 2023. But there are still just mounds of ice and snow on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. The road itself is bare. Mm-hmm. But if you want to pull in any random parking lot, you're gambling. Whether or not... I mean, what I'm saying is if you decided to ride your motorcycle, mm-hmm. it's not quite there yet unless... But while we were doing the show, just like about 10 minutes ago, a guy goes speeding past us here on the road, here on 89, and he's riding a bullet bike in shorts. And I'm like, that's a local. Because it's not warm.
I went for a run yesterday at about 5 o'clock. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wear shorts and a t-shirt on my jog.
Did the dog bite you again?
No, the dog has been... thoroughly contained since the police were involved in
Wow. But
yeah, so that's nice.
Well, you made a nice enemy somewhere on your road, did you?
But anyhow.
Yeah.
And there's still snow everywhere, but it's like 58 degrees and you're like, ah, this is beautiful. Oh, look at that, a snowy mountaintop into the distance.
Just to put it in perspective, the snow pile where they were pushing the parking lot area for where we work.
Mm-hmm.
That pile in the back is like 30 feet tall still. I mean, it's huge. It's almost as tall as the tallest building in town, which is on the other side of the road.
You would not believe. So my driveway is made mostly of rock and dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And you would not believe the sloppiness of that sucker right
about
now.
But I would. Yeah. Anyway, but I saw the guy speeding past us here just a minute ago, and I'm like, good for you, buddy. I can't even get my bike out of its shed. I would have to have... an industrial, some kind of snow thrower to cut through to get to where the shed is, just to get to my bike. So, not quite right in time for me yet.
Some more bits of sporting news from across the landscape. Earlier today, Jeff Okuda traded from the Detroit Lions to the Atlanta Falcons.
I saw that.
Which means that Bears fans' hopes and dreams of maybe we'll take a cornerback at 9? And just have 3 excellent corners? Maybe that's the route we go? I think that died. I have to imagine that Detroit is taking a cornerback at 6 if they just traded Okuda. That's what I'm thinking. But, yeah, Jeff Okuda to the Atlanta Falcons. There they are. Woot woot. draft coming up at the end of the month. We'll break more of that down as we get closer to it.
Well, we got to do it at least next week because well,
my team has a first round pick this year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, last year I went to your party just to watch everyone else sit there in anxiety. I was just eating pretzels.
Yeah, you were just brand. You're still brand new. You still had that new resident smell.
That guy smells like Missouri.
I'll be dead in the cold ground before I recognize Missouri. this just came across. So I haven't seen it yet. The movie Air.
Which is does not feature any Michael Jordan in it, as a very fun tidbit.
Well, I don't really know why it should. Probably because it would cost him money.
Well, I meant they don't even have an actor playing Michael Jordan. Like Michael Jordan, the character does not feature.
Even just walking around?
No.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that. But a record has been set from Sotheby's. This just is on ESPN just this afternoon. That the Jordans, the Air Jordan sneakers that were worn in the second half of Game 2 of the 98 Last Dance NBA Finals, $2.238 million. That is a lot of stinking money for a pair of shoes.
It does not surprise me.
Used shoes, by the way.
I still feel bad. You know, now that I'm seeing stuff like this, and if I had my wits about me at the time, I used to own and wore a pair of Torrey Holt used cleats. when I was in my freshman year and sophomore year of football.
Like he had worn them?
He warned them in games because my uncle had an inn where his best friend was the equipment manager for the St. Louis Rams. You shouldn't have worn
those. Especially when he eventually gets in the Hall of Fame, which he will.
Yeah. But anyhow, I wore them. Torrey Holt wore these cleats. That was pretty cool. And then straight up, when I grew out of them, one of my cousins needed a pair of cleats. I just gave him. I'm like, hey, Torrey Holt wore these. You want them? He's like, oh, that's super cool. Who knows where? We just keep passing them around.
And then you wonder why stuff like that turns out to be so valuable. Because you pass them around. It's with you.
You know what? I'm not going to feel too bad about it, though. My little cousin needed some football cleats, Dal. Gave him some. I got to wear Torrey Holt used in-game football cleats. How upset can I truly be, thinking back on it, that I missed out on some cash? At least I got to say, these cleats I'm wearing, Torrey Holt wore these in a game once.
next week, we're going to have to basically go all draft.
Mm-hmm.
Because the week after that, we're going to be in Vegas, and I don't know that we're doing a podcast in Vegas.
Next week, we're actually in Vegas. So,
but not till the end of the week.
It's this Sunday we're leaving.
It is?
It sure is.
It is not.
It certainly is.
It is not.
I can assure you of this.
No. Because it's not till the... it doesn't start till the 19th. Oh, no, the 19th when we're coming back.
Yes.
Oh, wow. We are leaving this week.
Yeah. So podcast might be on Thursday next week.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Wow.
Yeah. Unless we just bring a soundboard with us and do it in the hotel.
Yeah, Duke and I have done that for less, for the same thing. So.
Make it sound like you were like addicts, and you're like, mm-hmm. We're going to have to film a...
He is a little addicted. But the big lead up to the draft is how many quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10. Right now... If you're a team that's not drafting a quarterback in the first round, I just read that there's 6 to 9 teams trying to trade into the number 3 spot where the Cardinals are.
The poor Colts.
For all I know, the Colts are one of them.
They might be, but they really thought, they're like, well, at 4, we'll probably still get a decent quarterback. We don't need to trade up with Chicago and give them what Carolina did. Oopsie daisies, now someone traded with the Cardinals. Oh, my God, we're going to get the scraps, aren't we?
I think this year, I don't know that I'm convinced on any of them.
No.
There's none of them that make me go, oh, surefire.
The only guy whose talent, I would say, I'm convinced on is Bryce Young, and even then, he's got a bit of the Tua about him.
It's funny you say that, because I think the exact same thing, and Tua's bigger than he is.
And for, when we talk about the size, and that is what it is, and then on top of that, there's just so much game film of him. Now, his scrambling and his, improvising, keeping his eyes downfield, throws the ball to the open guy, you're like, all right, that's pretty good. I wish some of these guys weren't so open, so I could evaluate his accuracy a little better.
I like C.J. Stroud a lot from what he did in the postseason, and I don't know. He seems to have a good air about him, and I actually think that's who Carolina's going to pick at number one, and then I think you'll see. Who is it at 2 now? Jeez,
Houston.
Yeah, I think you'll see Houston take.
Thank you, by the way, Lovie Smith.
But I just...
Beautiful man.
But yeah, it's just... It's kind of nutty. I absolutely think that you're going to see a lot of teams reach. And most of them... History says most of them are not going to get the payoff they want.
I am also told there's another rumor. Ryan Poles has said there's 5 players that he currently has circled on his draft board. He says, I've got it down to 5, that if they're still there at 9, I'm taking them. And someone said, well, what if they're not there? And he said, well, if they're not there, that means that one of the quarterbacks slipped to us, just mathematically. And if one of the quarterbacks slips to him, he says, we're heading right back down again.
Yeah. And I said, as well they should.
This is hilarious. The Bears are like, we understand we have so many holes. It's not like, we drafted Jalen Carter. Super Bowl, baby. You might as well. You might as well just say, you know what? Will Levis dropped to us.
It's just interesting.
Tennessee is desperate. You know what? Next year, we have three first-round picks now.
Here's an interesting thing that I saw last night. My son is a huge Bills fan, and I made him cheer for the Bills even when he came to me.
At gunpoint.
Well, even like pre-pubescent Eli, he's like, Dad, can I change teams, please? Because they suck. And I'm just like, you know, Eli?
No.
You really should stick with it. And now, do you know how much I lord that over him now? And who told you to stick with your team? And now you got Josh. Their quarterback is from Wyoming. You watched him play. I don't even think that's sunk into him yet. It's like, I took you to watch him in person like a half a dozen times. That never happens. I've never seen the guy who quarterbacked Washington a half a dozen times in person. I've seen him once, and it was in the press box like 5 years ago when he was recruiting or when he was scouting Josh Allen. And I met Doug Williams in Laramie. It was like, oh my gosh, that's Doug Williams. And then the sports information director at Wyoming was like, now Dal, he's here to work. Had to remind me that... Yeah, he had to spray me. And I'm like, okay, Tim, I'm all right. I'll be good. Anyway,
Arrested Development narrator.
So I was good.
He was not all right.
No, I was. I asked for a picture at halftime or whenever he wanted to, and left it at that. Tried not to bother him during the game. Got my picture, but it was just. But what I'm saying is my boy doesn't appreciate that I taught him fan responsibility. He stuck with his team, and now they are a contender, and they've got a player on his team that has a relation to where he's from.
Mm-hmm.
My son was born in Laramie. I'm just saying, I killed it on that element of being a dad. Other times, not so much, but on that thing, yes, killed it.
I've already told people too that always like to make the jokes about Max is going to be the biggest Chicago. Like bred super sports,
or else he's gonna hate you and cheer for the Packers.
I'm like, you know what? He's you know, he was born in, well, actually, he was born in Salt Lake, Utah.
Ew,
mostly
that's your fault.
Mostly, though, he's from Wyoming. Why? I'm like, you know what? If Max wants to be a, you know, he turns eight and he decides he likes sports, if he wants to be a, and I don't even like him, but he's like, you know what? There's some player for the Yankees that I really like, and he's a Yankees fan. You know what? He's from Wyoming. That's fine. He's a free agent sport fan. I am not going to do to him what my birthplace did to me and force me to become a Bears abused relationship resultee.
Don't you like the Bears?
I love every one of my teams from Chicago.
Then why
they just
you,
don't seem to like me very much.
Why would you take that away from him?
I'm just saying, sometimes they like to beat you up being a fan of your team.
But I do think we should talk about the draft for just at least a couple minutes.
Perhaps a second.
Unless you have something else you want to talk about.
There was one thing that maybe we can even save to the end again, but WrestleMania did take place during our hiatus. And it was somehow the most controversial WrestleMania that has ever taken place ever. And we'll talk about that here in a second. Draft is coming up. Jalen Carter, his agent has now said, and this could be anything, it could be smoke. We don't know, but people find it interesting. We've now revealed why he's only taking interviews for teams that are drafting in the top 10. And that's because someone in the top 10 has apparently told him to his face, hey, if you slip to us, we're drafting you.
Yeah, I could see several teams doing that.
So, now there's all this mystery. Who is it?
Well,
who's his stopgate? Who promised
let's
him?
Look. Number 10 is the Eagles. They don't need a quarterback.
Not just a quarterback, but I'm talking someone has said, you know, we don't care about your legal issues. We want a defensive tackle of your talent. Yeah. We're taking you.
I could see the Eagles doing that, is what I'm saying.
Philly just lost Hargrave.
Lost a ton of guys from their defense.
It could be Chicago.
It could be Chicago. They're number 9. The Falcons are number 8. Why not?
And it feels like it would need to be someone that, like if it's Seattle, like, well, why would he take 6 through 10 then, right? Like, in theory?
Raiders are at 7.
So it feels like...
The Raiders have that history of we want the guy that's just got out on a weekend furlough.
So some intrigue there. I've already said publicly that there's so many options at what the Bears could take at 9 that I don't really have like a guy that I'm, oh, don't take that guy. This is the guy I need. I want, though that hasn't stopped Twitter, Dal. Everyone, we need JSN. Get us our Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase thing. We want Justin Fields' old teammate. Well, and then we've got to, no, if we don't take one of the right tackles, I'm going to kill myself and I'm going to put it on Twitter. Blah, blah. No, we need to get ourselves a defensive end. And if we don't, then the Bears should be disbanded as a franchise. And guys, all of these would make perfectly fine sense. Any of them are fine. Why are we all like going to pitchfork and torch war with one another?
Because that's what you do.
I don't really care for the internet. As you can tell.
I think the internet comment section is the lowest form of life, generally. Facebook, whatever site has a lot of comments. I mean, it generally devolves into, I don't want to be here, pretty quick.
And you know what's hilarious is that it's the same people that you'd interact with in regular life and are perfectly normal people.
That's the scary part.
Then they get on the internet, and for some reason, they're a different person.
And see, I grew up in, I said, I'm Generation X, so I grew up not having the internet in my house. And so it's like, I liked it better when all of us didn't when we all of us couldn't just say whatever came to our mind. Things were better.
As Mike Tyson once phrased, we've gotten too comfortable saying whatever we want without fear of getting punched in the mouth.
Yeah. And we've even seen a literal example of that with that guy who was pestering him on the plane.
And to Mike Tyson. My goodness, the world is beautiful.
Not only that, he's leading the way, teaching us how it all should be.
The fear keeps the people in line, Dal. Well,
in a world where common sense is becoming uncommon, I mean, seriously, even if I didn't know Mike Tyson, having grown up, he's got a face tattoo. Is there any guy or girl that you would feel comfortable going up against that has a face tattoo? You've got to be an extra little bit special crazy to put that on your face. You win the argument.
It wasn't even an argument. The dude was just pestering him on a plane.
But I'm just saying, even if I could take you, even if you were all talk, you have a face tattoo, it's not worth the gamble. and that's if I didn't know anything about Mike Tyson. Well, guess what? This guy at one point
clearly knew Mike Tyson.
That whole thing.
That was weird.
But that's why I still have faith in humanity. Because at the end of the day,
you can still get punched in the face for still being got, stupid.
Everybody kind of went, yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I mean, even though there's the whole, he can bring him up on charges and he can fight. Even the cops were like, nah, you instigated it. You shouldn't have done that.
I do appreciate that even the crowd that normally likes to chime in on stupid stuff like that with, well, you're bigger than him, so you shouldn't.
Then don't.
If you are afraid that the person you are going to put your hands on is going to hurt you way worse than you can hurt him, then don't put your hands on them.
Yeah.
The end.
I quote Will Smith in Men in Black, don't start nothing, won't be nothing.
draft coming up. We'll probably do a full special coming up where it's just an hour because, frankly, the playoffs will be just barely starting in two other sports.
Well,
and baseball's at the beginning.
And the draft is one of my favorite times. In fact, this will be my 20.
Next week, by the way, I believe your Defenders are playing my Renegades in the XFL, so our two teams will finally go head-to-head. It is hilarious, by the way, the North clearly, obviously, has three playoff teams, but it's the playoff structure is 2-2, so either Seattle or St. Louis is just going to not go, and then it's probably going to be my Renegades, who are frankly just very disappointing. They're going to be like 5-5 at best, and we'll walk. We got a playoff spot!
Yay!
That is a little funny to me. Poor St. Louis or Seattle.
All right, so going into your professional wrestling thing.
Oh, yes.
You, from what I gathered, people were quite disappointed at the ending.
Oh, so you did hear about it.
But that's where I'm like handing it over to you.
I didn't
pay that much attention.
So the reasons we were given are all incredible. To wrestling fans, are for the most part, that's not good enough. Now, here's the thing. Roman Reigns, it's not as simple as, well, the bad guy won and we don't like that. Sometimes, you know, the main event of WrestleMania might not be the place to have the bad guy win, but Roman Reigns has been a very excellent champion. He has made an entertaining main event. We like what he's doing. It just felt like, first of all, the night before, so his whole shtick is he has a faction called the Bloodline, which are all his actual real-life relatives that are also pro wrestlers. His cousins, the Uso twins, they were tag champions. Their younger brother, so also his cousin, Solo Sikoa, just debuted. He's kind of been there, stand in the back with his arms crossed, bodyguard deal. That was his shtick. So going into Mania, here's Cody Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes' little boy. You know, you might remember Dusty Rhodes, oh, yeah. The American Dream. And Cody Rhodes, just as good on the microphone as Dusty was, just as good at getting people to sympathize with him. Everyone likes the Rhodes family. They all seem like upstanding, decent people. Cody goes into Mania the night before, because WrestleMania is two nights now, which is arguably better than there was this period where they decided that they needed everyone to get a Mania payday, so Mania would just be 8 hours long. That's too much of one sitting. 2 4-hour nights, much more tolerable.
Yeah.
Thank you. So the main event of night one was the Usos against hottest story in wrestling, Sami Zayn, and his former best friend turned enemy, turned best friend again, Kevin Owens. And they beat the Usos, and everyone cheered, and we went, all right, so this is going to be like the Bloodline falls. That's going to be the story of Mania, right? Nope. Bloodline cheats, beats Cody Rhodes, main event. Same thing we've seen a billion times already, and people went, it just felt like the time to end it. It's been 3 years of this. We've watched the same ending to the main event for 3 years. It was time to finally say, okay, well, you half ended it. And the reasons we were given were as follows. Paul Heyman, who's both an on-screen character but also part of the creative team, stated in a podcast shortly afterward that it had always been the plan to have Roman win, and Cody will get his rematch, probably at SummerSlam, because Cody came back from his injury after he tore his pec and wrestled through it. My God.
Ouch.
I would never do such a thing. Wrestled through it with his whole right shoulder and chest purple, and wrestled a 30-minute Hell in a Cell match with Seth Rollins. Came back, won the Royal Rumble, and they said, to be a true babyface, which is wrestling terminology for the good guy, you need to have adversity. You can't just clean sweep your way right to the championship. People will turn on you. I don't think that's true. Does anyone remember Goldberg in WCW? Won 280-something straight matches to start his career, and people loved it. They're like, ha, ha, ha. He eat people. That fun.
Yeah, he did that spear thing.
Yes, and then, yeah, just spear him. He couldn't even wrestle. His matches were like 2 minutes. And we loved it because we said, big guy kill little guy. That fun. Anyhow, so people didn't really like that excuse. Second of all, okay, let's say that he did need some adversity. You couldn't have given him that before Mania happened. All I'm saying is that even though wrestling lasts all year, it's not like it really has a Super Bowl where then there's an offseason. I mean, come on, it's WrestleMania. That should be where storylines end, right? As a non-wrestling fan, I say WrestleMania, you know what I'm talking about. If I were to say Backlash.
Yeah, not so much.
What is that?
SummerSlam is something I've heard of.
Okay, so that's... It's still slightly a step down, though, from doing it at Mania. Having the story end at WrestleMania. We're having it end at SummerSlam.
I think...
Come on. And you know what's the most disappointing, though, of all? Is that until the very deflating finish... So there's a gentleman named Dave Meltzer who runs a magazine slash online website called The Wrestling Observer, and he's a well-respected journalist. And for the last 50 years, he's covered wrestling, and he gives his personal star ratings. And some people care about them, some people don't. It's just one man's opinion. But because he's so well-respected, people tend to put a lot of emphasis on his star rating. It's out of five. WWE has had, I want to say, 10 five-star... That's perfect wrestling match ever. They've had 10. And that's going all the way back to the 60s. So Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns was a banger. They hit every spot. They were hitting cool moves. They did all the storyline beats. Interference from the Usos. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens come in, who got betrayed by, you know, all the storyline beats. They're all involved. Everything's hitting. It got 4.75 stars. And that's kind of the epitome of what we all looked at. And we're like, that match would have literally been perfect.
If you
didn't end it with a huge kick in the nards to everyone watching.
Maybe Cody Rhodes isn't ready.
Cody Rhodes has been wrestling on the independents, but Cody Rhodes has been wrestling since, I want to say, 2009.
I don't know what to tell you.
His dad is Dusty Rhodes. He's got this in his blood.
Michael Jordan has kids too, and they suck.
And also part of the storyline was Cody Rhodes coming after the one title his dad never won. Dusty was never given the WWE championship. Whoopsie daisies, now they're just Cody. Ha ha. Oopsies.
Ooh, maybe at SummerSlam, Dusty will win it.
Dusty is dead.
Exactly.
anyhow, so that also felt a bit deflating. But
wouldn't
anyhow,
that be nuts?
So there was that part. The other part we heard was the BS spewed from Triple H at his postgame when he said, well, you know, the other reason we did it was, you know, people hype up WrestleMania a little too much. You know, we booked it up. It was, you know, what's his catchphrase been? Finish the story. Well, wrestling, the story never ends. There's going to be Raw tomorrow night. And there's going to be... I roll all the way until I can see my actual brain in the back. I understand that wrestling will continue, Triple H, but come on, it's WrestleMania. You can end a story at WrestleMania. Please and thank you. And then on top of that, the fact that everyone already knew, because we live in the modern era where there's internet, Roman Reigns got his 3-month request off approved, and that got leaked onto the internet. So we all know he's taking 3 months off. So now he's just going to take the belt with him, and we're just not going to have the world title on TV for 3 months. What the heck? So now we have the very silly... Cody came out and he said, I want my rematch, Roman. You cheated, you dirt. And then Brock Lesnar came out and beat up Cody Rhodes for reasons unknown. And the reason is because they need Cody to do something for 3 months while we fill time. And it's very hard as a fan to get excited about what should have been a very cool feud indeed. Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar, UFC former champion Brock Lesnar. Without it being in the back of your head, you're like, this is just a time filler feud. They just needed something to do while we wait for Roman to get back from vacation,
yeah,
don't
but
they?
Come on. If you're comparing it to other sports, I know it's sports entertainment.
Yeah.
But it's not like the championship's up for grabs every week. Like,
no.
Let's compare it to boxing. How often is the heavyweight championship of the world up for grabs?
But typically you like it to be up for grabs at every pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, I can understand
that. Now, I understand we're in the Peacock era, so a pay-per-view costs you $5. Not so bad. But there is still a little prestige to the pay-per-view. I don't want the main event to be Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar for not the championship. They're just fighting just because they are. Come on now.
I already told you, it's going to be the ghost of Dusty Rhodes. That is the...
Well, Vince McMahon has once wrestled God on a pay-per-view, so...
And his partner will be the ghost of Stonewall Jackson.
Also, while I was talking about five-star matches, WWE did... So they were this close to two. They got two. The first WrestleMania to ever have 2 5-star matches on the same card. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos got 5, and then in night 2, in the middle of the card, just because they can. It wasn't the main event. They just went hard like this because they could, Dal, and I appreciate that. We had a triple threat for the Intercontinental title, the mid-card belt. Gunther from Austria, Drew McIntyre from Scotland, and Sheamus, The Celtic Warrior from Ireland had a triple threat for the belt. And you know what? It went hard. And I appreciate it. They didn't have to. They were just in the middle of that card. They could have gone out there, just done their thing for 20 minutes.
If someone didn't get a whiskey bottle broken over their head in that one, then it's not worth it to me.
And it's hilarious you said that, because that is very much exactly what Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, first of all, did and are all about. Their gimmick is pub drinking brawlers from the UK.
Okay, I'm with that.
It's fun to me because this was basically a hand-designed match specifically for me. I am that guy. I liked Hulk Hogan. I like Brock Lesnar. I like guys like that. There is a part of me that's like, I understand that sometimes we make fun of wrestling is, look at these steroid monkeys going out there and all they are is a giant mound of muscle. And then there's part of me that's like, yeah, but isn't that awesome? Look how huge that dude is. Look at him. He's going to fight that other huge dude. This was literally just, they found the three hugest dudes they could find. And they're like, now these three huge dudes are going to beat each other until their hairs change color. And you're going to sit there and you're going to watch it. And I said, you know what? You're right. I am. Punch each other now. And it's three dudes who, in wrestling terms, because Dal is not a wrestling fan.
Easy now. I wouldn't go that far.
Do you watch wrestling?
Once in a great while.
They would be considered stiff. That's kind of their style, which means there's stiff and there's loose. Loose means you're very much not making contact with one another because it's fake fighting. We all know that. Stiff is, you know what? The outcome is determined, but that doesn't mean we can't really punch each other. These are three guys that absolutely love to do that. According to Sheamus' own words, it, quote, gets him more hyped for the... It gets him more adrenaline rushing. It gets him more into the match. Okay. So he says he can't wrestle without hitting and being hit. And so these guys just straight up will. They'll chop each other's chests until they're literally bleeding, which happened in the match. You should have seen poor Sheamus' chest. He and Gunther took turns. A chop is...
Yeah, overhead. I know.
Okay.
I know what...
Literally...
You're starting to offend me now, okay, just a little bit.
Well, my apologies.
I can... I watched the Hulk Hogan cartoon, the WWF cartoon that was on. That's okay, my
that's
age.
That's pretty spectacular.
Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik.
These two literally busted each other's chests open just by smacking each other. That's fantastic. Do that more. That's brilliant. I liked it. So that was good. So it was a very good show. That's almost the problem, is how dare you show me this absolutely brilliant thing and then end it poorly.
Yeah.
It's the
that
game
seems
of,
to be that seems to be the common refrain.
I said this was the Game of Thrones of WrestleManias. Ooh. This would have been top five of all time. And then you took a dump at the end and made me watch.
And then you had Jon Snow stab Daenerys.
How dare you?
And if you're someone that just went, hey, you've had plenty of time.
Yeah, it's been out for a hot minute.
It's been out for like 10 years now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyhow, Russell, so there is... Oh, and the other part, Vince McMahon is back, which has a few fans groaning.
Yeah, and he has like a mustache. He looks like...
Oh, that is gross.
He looks like a French villain.
But he was in charge of creative on Monday Night Raw, and Raw was historically bad. Ratings-wise, and people went, come on. Apparently, SmackDown, he was nowhere to be seen, and it was, quote, merely in creative meetings, but not actively running any shows. So some people are like, okay, fine, but also don't go back to that thing you were doing in 2020 and 2021 where everything was literally unwatchable.
Yeah.
If you could. Triple H has been doing fine. Apart from the ending of that WrestleMania match. But apparently multiple people in the company thought that was a good idea. So I don't. There's still time to fix it. But right now it feels like the rug was pulled out from under those of us that bothered committing any form of emotional investment into the storyline we were following. Wow. Thanks, wrestling.
Poor Aaron.
Yeah, no one has it worse than me. I had to watch bad wrestling. Can you believe it? anything else that we forgot to cram in there?
I don't think so.
Rockies won last night.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm looking forward to next week's all draft talk.
It is Dal's Christmas.
It is my Christmas.
Also next week, not only does the XFL continue, the USFL kicks off.
It's true.
So we get this weird 3-week period where they're going to be playing at the exact same time. Wait, I don't know why the USFL didn't just wait 3 weeks, and then we could have literally had football.
I'm sure it has to do with, let's be honest, there's only so many weeks in the year.
Well, yeah.
Got to squeeze it in before training camp.
So that should be fun. I'll be rooting heavily for my Breakers to win me a t-shirt. My Renegades.
The Generals.
Yeah, my Renegades are still in the playoff picture at the moment. So your Defenders and my Renegades play this Sunday.
I'm going to get me a Defenders hat. I think I've decided. I'm getting me a Defenders hat, and I think they've earned it. I think they've earned a spot in my hat rotation.
They have earned the right. By the way, their game against Seattle was wild.
That was wild.
I really hope Seattle gets that second playoff spot because, unfortunately, DC kind of slapped St. Louis both times they played them. They've played two incredibly interesting games with Seattle. Tell me you wouldn't like a third. Maybe you wouldn't because you'll be rooting for DC. You'd rather just the slap around. But
yeah, I would like that.
As a neutral fan, I'd like to see what these two could do in a round three. Be some wonky. Your DC Defenders did have their first loss of the season as well.
Who cares?
To, of all teams, the windless Orlando Guardians.
Who
because
cares?
Even in Spring League, we have to prove that anything can happen on any given week.
I think it's fine. You don't want that extra pressure. You don't need that.
Speaking of extra pressure, we might as well end it on reiterating Boston Bruins. Congratulations on 63.
We wish you the best of luck in your impending first round loss.
If they get knocked out in the playoffs, though, can you believe this has happened to Boston twice in two different sports? They had the undefeated Patriots going for the 19-0.
Well, at least they made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, whoopsies. All right, Bruins, time to whoopsies.
That's the thing. If you don't even make the championship of the sport, then you're even more forgettable. Then it's just like, wow, that was a fluke.
Now, people use the term forgettable. I think we remember it. We just remember it harshly.
Yep.
Like, for instance, when I say 98 Vikings, you absolutely remember the 98 yeah. Vikings. And you mostly remember Gary Anderson's only miss of the entire yep. season. Which, by the way, I know it was kind of a chippy. It was like 41 yards. But, like, also the defense could have simply stopped Atlanta
You're
from driving
dome.
The full length of the field.
You're in a dome.
I feel like, though, we only yell at Gary Anderson when the defense also choked hard at the end of that game. We could yell at a lot more people than just Gary Anderson.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't know you were looking to spread blame around from...
Oh, I like to make sure
25 years ago.
I like to make sure that everyone that's ever been a Viking gets good and shamed. I really feel like that's important to me.
Just hide and watch and see what happens with your beloved Bears.
Yeah, nothing has ever brought shame to the Chicago Bears in the history of ever, so.
Certainly not that one magazine cover with Ricky Williams in a dress. With Mike Ditka, and I know
that was the Saints.
I know it was the Saints, but that's still Mike Ditka.
Not the fact that we just, you know, had the worst record in the NFL or anything.
That's true. That just happened too.
Or Cody Parkey hitting every single...
The double doink.
Yeah, possible bit of field goal piping he could find.
He needs to open a restaurant in Chicago and call it the double doink.
He would be killed.
Whatever. No, he wouldn't. He's not important enough to be killed.
People in Chicago hate Cody Parkey.
Well, then he needs to go to Green Bay and open one up and call it the
I would say
doink.
Philly.
Okay, Philly.
And he played 2 years for Philly, too. So he's like, hey, when I was good, I played for you. And then when I screwed up, I played against you. I should be the most beloved man in Philly history.
Here, order a double doink. They're on special this week. All right, that's it. We got to get moving here.
I think we crammed all of it in. Hopefully you can catch us most weeks that one of us isn't somewhere.
No, we're back in it now.
Yeah. Most Wednesdays, some Thursdays, the occasional Tuesday sprinkled in. You can catch us on Spotify, on YouTube, and on svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.